Video. So for the purpose of the audio recording, it is Wednesday, June the 27th, 2018, in the fatherheart.tv webcast. Today I'm talking about, I guess to give you a little bit of background, when I was in Korea 2 weeks ago, I celebrated the 20th anniversary of me coming home, really, when Jack Winter embraced me and kind of turned my life inside and out. And of course, that was the weekend I met both Jack Winter and James Jordan. And both of these men became incredible influences to me, and I'm very thankful for both of them. But for me, I oftentimes when I hit a milestone, and I think 20 years walking in this revelation is a real milestone for me. I get really reflective on life, and I often do that at New Year's as well. You know, when you finish out 1 year, then you look to the next, and you start thinking about your life and thinking about, I don't know, just the ripple effects of your life and maybe the future. And so I've been doing a lot of thinking about that since I've kind of hit this marker. And so there is a passage of scripture that I wanted to talk about in today's session. I haven't really thought it through, so please forgive me if it isn't really, if it's disjointed in any way. But it's just, it really, what I want to say in this webcast is really based on this one passage of scripture about the body of Christ. And what I titled today's teaching, or just sharing my heart really, is, finding our unique place in the body of Christ. And so I just want to read this passage that Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's quite lengthy, so if you do have your Bibles, you may, excuse me, want to follow along with me. It's starting at verse 5, and I'm reading to verse 30. And it says this: "There are various kinds of service in the same Lord. There are various kinds of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of languages, and to another the interpretation of languages. But the one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing to each one separately as he desires. For as the body is one and has also it has many members, and all of the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we are all given to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body,' it is not therefore not part of the body. If the ear would say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body,' it's not therefore not part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. The eye can't tell the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our unpresentable parts have more abundant propriety. Whereas our presentable parts have no such need, but God has composed the body together, giving more abundant honor to the inferior part, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. God has set some in the assembly, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle workers, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and various kinds of languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all miracle workers? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with various languages? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And then Paul ends 1 Corinthians 12 by saying, moreover, I show a more excellent way to you. And then Paul goes on to speak about the role of love in our lives. And of course, he starts 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, and he starts to talk about saying, like, if I have tongues, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and if I don't have love, it means nothing. Or if I have know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have not love, it really doesn't mean a thing. Or faith to move mountains, give my body to be burned, give all my possessions to the poor, no matter what we do. And of course, often what we talk about with the kind of the body life of 1 Corinthians 12 is that we seem to focus on the external, you know, the office of the prophet or the apostle or healing or speaking in tongues and all those things. But, you know, Paul goes on to say, I show you a more excellent way. Not that these things aren't excellent. Of course, they're excellent. But love has to be the foundation of everything we do. So today, when I'm talking about finding our role, our unique place in the body of Christ, I first want to kind of preface everything that I'm going to say that by saying that, you know, we need to make love our greatest aim. The 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul, the Amplified Version says, make love your great quest. And so I honestly believe that the more that you and I are able to see even the body of Christ, our body life, our church life, our activity, everything that we do, all the functions that are necessary, but when we see them through the lens of love, it changes things so much because we understand that there is a priority of love that you and I are called to pursue, you know, eagerly pursue spiritual gifts, but make love your greatest aim. And so I think I just want to say all of that before I'm going to talk about this whole idea of how we fit in this body of Christ. And I think one of the things that's really interesting is that when we have our definition of unity, you know, oftentimes in church life, at a local level, you know, when we try to define unity, we might have a common cause that we rally around, or a common belief that we rally around, or a project that we're all kind of putting our shoulder under the wheel and pushing in the same direction. And that is fine, you know, when love is the greatest thing, when we make love our greatest aim. However, I think one of the things that we all need to be aware of, at least me, maybe I'm the only one, and if that's the case, I'm okay with that. But I think sometimes when we think of unity in the body, we do think of unity in a way that's sameness. And Paul is really clear in this analogy, talking about a body, and that we are the body of Christ, and there are different members. And can the eye say to the thumb, I have no need of you? Now, if you think of it from a natural perspective, you know, every one of us has a functioning body, and some of the parts of our body aren't as visible. For instance, we all, you know, or most of us probably have baby toes, right? Now, baby toes are typically hidden in a shoe, for the most part, and it doesn't have the visibility of a face or ears or eyes or, you know, our vocal cords. But it is still nonetheless an important part of our being, our whole, and it is very much needed. And of course, if we had a baby toe missing, that would affect our balance, and it seems like a minor thing, but it actually impacts the whole body. And so Paul's really clear here, when he says that, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, or, you know, or the hand can't say to the foot, or whatever, you know, I mean, we can go on and on with every analogy. We're all different. We're all unique, and we all serve a purpose. And I think, though, if we are not really rooted and grounded in love for ourselves, and I'm talking about, now, when I talk about the love of God for us, it's to believe that we are loved, that we are lovable, that we are accepted in God's eyes, that He created us in His image, that we are a one-of-a-kind, unique masterpiece, a work of art, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship. And I don't know what, you know, how you process this. I don't know if you feel at home in the body of Christ. Do you feel understood? See, one of the longings in my heart has always been, and you know, this could be part of my own brokenness from my background and, you know, growing up with a father who struggled with alcoholism, you know, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be understood. But it has been really, really important for me to be validated. And oftentimes, in church life, if we're not careful, we seek that validation in ways that are maybe not really true to who we are. You know, so I want to be accepted. So then I feel that the journey for me to find acceptance is actually changing and becoming like somebody else, or trying to live up to other people's expectations. You know, I've mentioned before, and you know, many times probably in the webcast, that I come from a long line of people pleasers. My mother has struggled with people pleasing. My grandmother was a people pleaser. My mom taught my brother and I to you know, when we were younger, you know, kind of an ideology of living your life for other people. And while it all sounds well and good, it can be incredibly toxic for the human heart, because if I'm trying to make one person happy and my identity is kind of wrapped up in their opinion of me, maybe I can swing it. But when there's two or three or five or 10 or 100, who do you please and where do you live your life? And I think oftentimes when we look at church life, especially if we have a definition of unity that is sameness, you know, we're all the same, you know, I think we can get a sense of losing who we are in the midst of the bigger body. But, you know, Paul is pretty clear that there is one spirit, but many different parts. And I really believe that the only way that we can actually experience the union that God has desired us to experience with each other is when we are experiencing the full benefits of the union that we have with Jesus. In John chapter 17, you know, Paul, or Jesus, is actually praying to his Father before he goes to the cross. And verse 20 onward, he says this, he goes, "Not for these only do I pray, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." You see, I truly believe that there is the union, the unity that we really are all looking for, to be that expression of the body of Christ, does not come from sameness. It can only come when we are actually living in that revelation that we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. So the Father's in us, and the Holy Spirit is that we are the temple of the living God. And so we have been called into this incredible union with the Godhead. And I think it is absolutely the only way that we can act, you know, practically come into this unity of spirit, yet with all this diverse expressions, you know, like the ear. Could you imagine if everybody was an ear? Like, as Paul said, like, where would the seeing be if everybody's an ear? Now, if you start to apply that to everyday life, and we actually put ministry functions in this descriptor where Paul's saying, everybody's the eye, can the eye say to the hand, "I have no need of you"? You know, it's crazy, right? And in the same way, I believe that, you know, there's so many functions, so many expressions of the life and love of God. I really believe that the expressions of the love and life of God are unlimited, based on the 7 billion people potentially on the planet. And you know, I truly believe that every person was meant to be a reflection of the image of God themselves. And then as you and I believe that we're lovable the way God made us, then we are able to relate to one another. I just on Facebook this week, on my newsfeed, there was a quote from Henry Nouwen, which kind of really spurred me on when I was thinking about this, where it says, "Once we deeply trust that we ourselves are precious in God's eyes, we are able to recognize the preciousness of others and their unique places in God's heart." And I truly believe that, you know, I don't know if anybody else struggles to try to find their place in the body, try to find acceptance, to be understood, trying to find validation. But I truly believe that if we aren't receiving that validation ourselves from the Father, from the Godhead, into our lives, I think we are going to be disjointed in the way we relate to one another. The more that you and I believe that we are loved completely and fully because the Father is love himself, right? And he loves us with an everlasting love. And he has created us for a purpose. He's created us as a unique expression of his heart. You know, if we don't express the image, his image that he has placed in us in Christ, then that image will not be revealed to the world. And if we don't believe that, if we're not convinced of that, I believe that we're going to spend our entire life trying to compare ourselves with other people, trying to seek after other people's anointings and giftings, trying to, you know, maybe even in teaching and, you know, ministry and authority figures that are saying this is the way you should be. You know, we can lose a sense of who God created us to be. But I believe, as Henry Nouwen said, the more that we believe that we're precious in God's eyes, that we are a one-off work of art, that God has never made the same thing twice, the more that we believe that we're valuable that way, I believe the more that we will see other people in the same light. And the more that we see other people in that same light, the more that the unity of the Spirit will kind of take us all to deeper places of union and unity, but in Christ. But of course, making love our greatest aim. See, one of the things that when I mentioned that it's been 20 years for me in this revelation of the Father's love, and you know, I just kind of look at my own life and just you know, really just some of the struggles that I've had ongoing, and I think you know, one of the things that I really believe is that we minister out of our own testimony and our own life experience. And of course, you know, if somebody has a gifting of an evangelist, then, you know, they minister out of that place. And I think that's where sometimes we can get kind of messed up when we relate to one another, because if a pastor is an evangelist and that is his primary gifting, you know, there's a good chance just by virtue of his own passion that he might communicate, maybe not even intentionally, to his congregation that everybody else should be evangelists. And if you're moving in the prophetic and you have that kind of gifting and you influence a bunch of people, then, you know, if we're not secure in who we are as sons and daughters to the Father, unique, one-of-a-kind works of art in Christ, sons and daughters to Yahweh, that we might lose a sense of who we are and start to kind of move into another body part. So, like, could you imagine, like, how fruitless would it be for an eye to try to be an ear? Like, if an eye said, okay, you know what, I'm not really secure being an eye. I'm going to try functioning in a body part that is not mine, but I'll try to listen. But I cannot listen, right? A hand cannot carry the weight of the body. You know, like, if you understand that, we go, of course, that's actually, you know, that's common sense, right? That if we try to function outside of who we are, it's not going to work. And not only is it going to be fruitless in our own lives, probably exhausting as well, because if you try to do something that you weren't created to do, it's just going to tire you out. But not only, you know, will it distract us, it will actually rob the world of the one-of-a-kind image that God created you to be. And I guess that's my point in this whole talk that I'm wanting to share with you, is this about finding our unique place in the body. When you start to realize, you know, there's 37 trillion cells in the average human body, like that's a lot of activity going on in every person. And if we are part of the body of Christ, then each and every one of us are so unique in the way that God wants us to find an expression, that, you know, the moment that we get distracted and try to whatever, you know, try to change to be like somebody else, you know, we are actually not fulfilling our purpose. And so for me, one of the struggles that I've always had in this, not only in this revelation, when I became a Christian at 15 years of age, I felt called into ministry. Now, at that point, I only had one grid, one paradigm of what I thought ministry was, and I thought that was pastoral ministry. Now, I started the newspaper business in the advertising side at 16 years of age. I graduated high school early, took a summer job, and I didn't end up going up to university. I just stayed in the newspaper business for the next 19 years. And the night before I actually started my newspaper job, I told my parents, and I believe it was very prophetic, and I said to them, I said, I really think that this is my Bible school. And I didn't realize I might be a bit of a slow learner because I was there for 19 years. But because I had felt like I had this call of God on my life, and my only grid was pastoral ministry, I thought, well, that's what ministry is. After 19 years, I left the newspaper business. I became a pastor. And for 3.5 years, I served as an associate pastor at our home church without any Bible school training. But even then, you know, I was functioning. I'm an encourager. You know, I think I'm somewhat pastoral, but it was like, it just didn't fit. It was like, well, this is ministry. This is the capital M ministry, right? I'm doing it full time now, but it really didn't fit. And then I come into this revelation of the Father's love, which absolutely turns my life upside down 20 years ago with Jack Winter and James Jordan. And, you know, it absolutely kind of changes my perspective on the Christian life and my relationship with God, knowing that He really is my dad. And as a result, I produce this sermon illustration called Father's Love Letter. It'll be 20 years in January. Play it at my home church. It really goes over quite an emotional response from our church members. Put it on the internet, you know, fatherslovelettercom. It kind of gets out of hand and goes around the world. And I ended up asking my home church for me to leave pastoral ministry so I could do this full time, because I was starting to get invitations to travel and there was quite a few demands on the website. And so I ended up leaving pastoral ministry and doing what I've been doing for the last 20 years. And I think one of the struggles I've had, and of course this is my own journey trying to find my place in the body of Christ, is that I have tried to compare myself in a sense for my own grid. And it's only my issues. It's not anybody else's issues, but I've tried to say, where do I fit in the body? Where do I fit in Father Heart ministry? Where do I fit in itinerant ministry? What is it? And I've tried to understand who I am based on what I think I should be, not rather than who I am. The reality is that I was just thinking about it this week when I was reflecting on my life and the 20 years in this revelation. When I was 25 years of age, I was, you know, in the newspaper business, the secular newspaper business, and I was in the early days of starting a charity that I called Gospel Media Outreach at the time, where I saw a lawyer, and I was going through the early stages of the process of creating a charity where we would use advertising in secular venues to preach the gospel. You know, so I was buying ads and our secular newspapers, just sharing the gospel. And here we are 35 years later from then, almost 35 years later, close to it. You know, and I'm reflecting on those early days in my own life and how I had this desire to use secular media to share the gospel. And if I look at the last 20 years of my life, I went, whoa, is this ever crazy? You know, I have been using every media tool that I've been able to get my hands on, with whether it's video or audio or print or digital internet stuff. I have been trying to use everything that I possibly can to share the Father's love in every way that I could. And so my encouragement to you in whatever journey, wherever you find yourself, I mean, again, I'm getting, you know, I've been a Christian for over 40 some odd years. I mean, the older I get, the less I feel I know. But the one thing that I'm realizing is that there is only one of me. And, you know, all the struggles to find my place that have been based on seeking horizontal affirmation and validation. It's all nice, but it has to come after I receive it vertically. You see, one of the traps in certainly in the internet, for instance, is especially with social media in the last, you know, probably 10 years, is everything is measured. You know, so if you make a Facebook post, you can see how many people like it, how many people share it. Everything is evaluated, everything is measured. And the problem is if we're not secure in the vertical relationship that we have with God and telling us who we are, you know, for me, you know, being in this whole world of the internet, I can measure the value of anything I do based on how many responses I get. And so I think that, you know, what I'm learning in my life is that it's, you know, we say it's for the audience of one, right? We are learning to grow, and I'm learning, and again, 20 years into this revelation, I'm still learning. But I'm learning to just be more at peace with who I am, who God has called me to be, and hearing directly from the source that I'm a son whom the Father loves, that I'm a delight. I've been created for His pleasure. He created me a specific way. And whenever I try to find my place in the body based on form or function or try to fit a predetermined box, I just don't fit. You know, oftentimes when people talk to me and they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, that's a good question. You know, I do a little bit of travel. You know, I was just in Korea last week, but I'm not on the road all the time. I do some internet stuff. I do some webcasts. I do blogs. You know, I produce cartoons. I've did all these crazy things. And so my encouragement in your journey, growing in the revelation of the Father's love, is that you would know that there has never been two of you. You are a one-off original, and the Father created you for His pleasure, and He wants you to fulfill your destiny in the body of Christ. And my encouragement is that you don't get into the kind of the comparisons that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, can the body, the eye say to the ear, I have no need of you? See, oftentimes I think subtly this kind of stuff can happen where somebody is so passionate about one thing that we can lose sight of all the other parts of the body. And so the more that you and I are rooted and grounded in love, the more that we know that our lives make the Father smile, and that He created our personalities. He created the things that make us come to alive. And I believe the more we can just settle into that unique part of the body, that cell, the expression of the image of God has never ever been manifest in anybody else other than us. I think the more that we can do that, the more that, you know, we will be able to never have peace in our life, have rest in our lives, feel that we're loved the way we are. And then, as Henry Nouwen said, that we could begin to realize that we ourselves are precious in God's eyes. And the more that we can see that we are precious in God's eyes, the more that we will see that other people are precious as well. And I think that, you know, for me, I guess that how the I can put skin on this for me. You know, because I've struggled with every time I do something new, a new project, there's a little bit of insecurity, right? Because, especially on the internet, because everything is measured. And, you know, for some of you might kind of know me from, you know, the Father's Love Letter, which, again, 20 years ago it's kind of taken a life of its own. But most of the projects that I have done, to be honest, in the last few years have not had any measure of success compared to the Father's love letter. But that does not mean that they're any less valuable. You see, one of the things that I am really aware of is that because I'm created in the image of God, that everything that I do, like when I'm functioning in the flow of who I am, is a one-off, a unique expression of His heart. And if I decide not to do it because of fear, because of shame, because of comparing myself, because I feel inadequate, because I didn't get as many likes as I should get, if I let that stuff define who I am, it would absolutely shut me down. You know, with the Father's love letter in the early days, before I even put it on the internet, I had so much self-doubt about that. I thought, you know, it's one thing to present it as a sermon illustration in your church, you know, where you have a few hundred people, it's safe. But the moment you start putting it on the internet and, you know, they're paraphrased Bible verses in the first person, I'm like, can I do that? Is that right? Can, you know, am I getting carried away? And now 20 years later, when I think about that, and I think, what would have happened if I would have listened to all of the self-doubt and all the fear talk and all of the horizontal measurements that I was defining myself? What if I didn't actually put the Father's love letter on the internet and fathersloveletter.com? I mean, I don't have the answer to that other than the fact that it, to me, it's like, whoa, it's really, really important that you and I listen to the leading of the Spirit in our lives and not try to define ourselves by some other preconceived body part in the body of Christ. You know, just because you're not an ear doesn't mean you're not valuable. Like, we could easily say, can the pastor say to the stay-at-home mom, I have no need of you? Can the apostle, you know, say to the car mechanic, I have no need of you? You see, I truly believe that every part, when we are all functioning in our unique giftedness, we can find our place in the body. Whether people understand it or not, whether they, I think that's one of the struggles even with the revelation of the Father's love. If you feel that you're not understood by your church or by your friends, that they're maybe not as passionate about this revelation. And, you know, if we're not careful, we can feel like we are alone and then we are isolated. And the truth is, you are a functioning member of the body of Christ, and so am I. We have a unique place. And, you know, maybe, you know, the one of a kind that you are is meant to complement, you know, the other people in your church life or whatever who maybe don't carry that same perspective and that same revelation. But if we are to a point where we struggle to feel that we are precious to God, that we have to change, if evangelists are the big deal, then I should be an evangelist whether I'm an evangelist or not. If we go into this horizontal measurement and comparing, we're going to lose a sense of who we are. And we will not be the manifestation that God wants us to be. One of the things that, you know, I don't know, these are some of the things I think of. Maybe you think I'm a little carried away with this, and that's okay if you do. But I think that every voice that is spoken, like, everyone has a unique voice print. So your voice is different than my voice. Just like our DNA, every person's voice is different. And I really believe as I get older and I'm reflecting on my life, I feel that it is really important for me to be obedient, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit for me, and to be a manifestation, to be a voice to the world that we're living in. In the Old Testament, God spoke through, you know, like prophets, and He spoke through judges, and He spoke through kings. But in Hebrews 1, it says that in these days He's speaking through His Son, and that was referring to Jesus. The truth is, the Father is continuing to speak through sons and daughters. You and I are a manifestation of the life and love of God. And the more that we believe that's true, the more that we are settled in, comfortable in our own skin, and we don't have to try to measure ourselves by other people or measure a project, the worthiness of a project based on the number of likes we get on Facebook. The more that we are secure in who we are, I truly believe that we are a manifestation of God. One of the things I heard one time, and I think it's true, is that, you know, there's digital, like audio, if it's digitized, they're wave files, right? So, like, because of the voice that we speak, think about this for a second. And this is why I think it's so important. The Bible says to do not let any idle word come out of your mouth, and out of your mouth comes blessings and cursings, you know, the power of the tongue. Is that when we speak something, from what I understand scientifically, and some of you might be able to correct me on this, but from what scientifically, when I speak something, when I make a noise out of my mouth, it actually, that noise continues to go. I mean, we can't hear it anymore because it kind of gets farther away from us and kind of, I don't know if it disseminates, but it actually goes off into space. Like every word that we speak, because it is a substance. And so when I think about this stuff, I think if I am not true to who God created me to be as part of that body, fitly joined together, right? The building, the living stones that we are. If I'm not true, then I am in a sense robbing the people around me from the image and the expression that God has created me to be. You see, the enemy's strategy is to, John 10:10, to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. And I truly believe that even, you know, the projects that I'm doing, you know, some of you might have seen on some of the things I do with, you know, creating cartoons, right? We have a website, abbaskids.com, where I created over 180 cartoons, and most of those cartoons were created in the cancer ward, or at least waiting for my daughter to finish her cancer. And they're some of the most meaningful things that I've done to illustrate a childlike heart. But you know how scary that was for me to release, you know, because, you know, I mean, that is not the traditional grid of an itinerant speaker, is to create cartoons and send them out. But, you know, I'm to a point in my life, and I'm learning and growing as you are, that I believe that it takes courage sometimes to be ourselves, that we risk being misunderstood. We risk people saying, well, why are you doing cartoons? Isn't that silly? We risk these things. But I believe that if I don't do something that is on my heart to do, then no one else will ever do it, because I am a one of a kind work of art, just like you are. So my encouragement to you is, and for me, it's the internet, it's media, it's, you know, traveling a little bit, it's do all kinds of things. But I really believe that the more that you and I get rooted and grounded in love, you know, make love our greatest aim. I show you a more excellent way that we don't get lost in the body life of comparisons. And are you a thumb? Are you an ear? Are you an elbow? What are you in the body? And then that we are able to kind of settle into that unique one of a kind work of art that God has made us to be. The more that we'll be able to flourish, the more that we'll be able to function, the more that we'll be able to see the glory and the precious gift that each one of us is in the body. And I believe that union of spirit with the Godhead will actually provide that union of spirit with each other. So I just want to take a few minutes. Does anybody struggle with this stuff, or is it just me? You know, when we talk about body life and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists, and we say, where do we fit in? You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I've got a job, and I'm not this and I'm not that. In the chat, feel free to type in if you guys, for those who are live, if you struggle with this stuff, because I feel that this is one of the greatest challenges that we can live, to live a full and abundant life, is to believe that our lives are enough the way God made us, and that we're not supposed to be anybody else. I have heroes that I, you know, like in the faith and in ministry that I really admire, but I'm not them. And if I try to spend my life trying to be them, I'm not going to be me. And I truly believe that the Father wants us to be able to be so secure in His view of us, you know, that we see ourselves as accepted in the beloved, that that we live for the audience of one, for his affirmation, just like Jesus did. I always do what pleases him, right? It wasn't like he was going, okay, what does everybody think? How many likes can I get? How many horizontal affirmations can I get on Facebook? And if I don't get them, then I'm not valuable, and then it must have been for nothing. You see, I truly believe that the Father wants to free you and I from that. And so that we could be able to be the one of a kind work of art and find our place in the body and feel that, okay, if I'm not an evangelist, I bless evangelists. I do personally bless evangelists, but I don't have to be one. You see? And I truly believe that the Father wants to set us free. And I think in that, like for me, that has been a huge area of distraction, where it can actually cause me to almost robs me from being me, is when I keep my eye horizontally and I in a place of comparing. But I truly believe that if you and I can hear directly from the Father, you're my son, you're my daughter, in you I'm well pleased. And we become rooted and grounded in that, in love, and that we make love our greatest aim. See, that's the way 1 Corinthians 13 is the foundation, really, of 1 Corinthians 12, even though 1 Corinthians 12 comes first. Because Paul says, okay, here's the body life, this is how it all works, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way, and that excellent way is love. And when love is our foundation, it will just set our hearts at rest. So I just want to pray that the Father would just absolutely open up all of our, the eyes of our hearts to be able to really, really see ourselves from his perspective, and that he doesn't measure us by the systems of the world or even a broken religious system. He doesn't measure us by even, you know, horizontal responses at all. He measures us by us having the courage just to be ourselves, to be the manifestation of his kindness and his love and his goodness. And see, this is where I believe when Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom is a child, it really helps me to understand that the power structures of the world are not impressive to God. He's not wowed by kings and the wealthy. He's actually chosen the weak and the poor and the foolish things of the world to confound those things that appear to be strong and wise and rich. You see, the Father loves it when you are you. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have orchestrated you to be a part of the body that no one else could ever fill. And so my encouragement to you tonight, and I'm looking at myself in the reflection on the computer screen, so I'm talking to myself too. But would you be willing tonight to say, Father, I want to be courageous. Would you just show me how to be a greater manifestation of the love and life that you have put in me, uniquely in me, so that I can find my place in the body and I can just live in that place of knowing that I am a much loved child of Almighty God. Yeah, that's true. I'm just looking at the chat. Comparison is the tool the world uses to kill our uniqueness. And I think even in body life, if we're not careful, if we read 2 Corinthians 12 and we don't hear that he says that there's many different parts but one spirit. See, it's the Spirit of God that brings union to us, not our likeness, our sameness. So I just want to pray a prayer that that the Father would set us free. Anybody who would just desire that, just to be into a greater awareness of the unique place that you, the role you have in the body of Christ, and how important your voice is. I feel the Father saying that your voice is really important. Some of you might be questioning your voice, and you might be comparing your voice with somebody else's voice, but your voice isn't that person's. So Father, I just pray by the power of your Spirit today that you would set us all free to be the unique, one of a kind work of art that you created us to be. Father, I pray that you would free us all from pleasing of man pleasing, living to compare ourselves with other people, being defined by other people, having an understanding of unity that is really sameness. Father, you've never created anything twice. Instead of us beating ourselves up and saying that we're not good enough the way we are, Father, I pray for freedom to come to your sons and daughters around the world right now. I just pray that there, even now, that you would just affirm in your kids just the glory that you have placed in them. You know, whether you're going to the nations preaching the gospel or a grandmother or grandfather playing with your grandkids in the backyard, I really believe the Father is, he doesn't measure like the world measures. And Father, I just pray you would set us free from any expectations we've placed on our own selves of what we think we should be. And Father, would you just bring us into that glorious freedom of the children of God, who are doctors and lawyers and itinerant speakers and pastors and grandmas and retirees and all the glorious expressions of your nature that we are just because we're your kids. And Father, I pray for anybody that's listening to this who feels alone, who feels isolated, who feels misunderstood, who doesn't know their place in the body. Father, would you just come by the power of your Spirit and just set our hearts at rest? Would you just validate us where we need to be validated? Where maybe we have looked for other people to validate us, would you validate us? And set our hearts at rest, and so that we can have peace at the very core of our being. Thank you, Father, that there is a more excellent way. And that way is the way of love. I pray, Father, you would help us to be able to love ourselves so that we could love others in the same way. That we could value others in the same way, that we could honor others in the same way, not requiring them to change to be like us, but to celebrate their uniqueness. Oh, Father, I pray that, like, I just feel that this is the longing of your heart, that your kids would just be free to be themselves, and that together that corporate unity would bring a beautiful expression of the body of Christ here on earth. That we might be one even as you are one. So that the love that you have for us may be, for your own son may be in us as well. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. Wow. Ha. Amen.